Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Maybe you noticed this bit of deadpan milestone speak from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration yesterday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 0. And launch of the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket as NASA turns to the private sector to resupply the International Space Station.
That's right. Not NASA's vehicle, not their mission. The privately funded SpaceX Falcon 9 private sector launch vehicle made it into space yesterday, as you heard there. At the same time, the old U.S. launch vehicles, the Space Shuttle fleet, are all being tethered to barges and trucks for trips to various museums. NASA still has rockets. It gets to rent out Cape Canaveral there to the private sector rocketeers. But it was a teeny bit disorienting to me hearing the NASA mission control voice say there it was a historic moment getting the private sector involved in space. Felt a little bit like watching Postal Service workers cheering on FedEx and UPS. Now, I suspect we would mostly agree that whatever the Postal Service's difficulties, FedEx and UPS have been a positive force for shipping. But what is the spaceflight business, really, beyond the aspirations of some super rich folks to cross spaceflight off their bucket list? Michael Lopez Alegria is a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander. He's currently the president of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation, a commercial space advocacy group, and he joins us now. I gather, Michael, you would say historic moment yesterday.
Absolutely. Very exciting. Despite the sort of deadpan presentation that you mentioned from NASA, there was a similar feed from the SpaceX website that sounded a lot different. But in any case, it was a big moment and sort of just one more step, but a very important one.
The private sector knows how to cheer there, right, Michael?
Absolutely.
Miles O'Brien also joins us. Welcome back to the program, Miles.
John, I can tell you if NASA is Prozac, SpaceX is crystal meth.
There you go. Space correspondent for PBS NewsHour also with us. Miles has covered space issues for more than 20 years. All right, Miles, without getting into the crystal meth thing too much, what are the capabilities of the Falcon 9 compared to public sector and pre-existing space launch and transport vehicles?
Well, if you're trying to compare it to the space shuttle, it's certainly an apple and an orange. The space shuttle did a lot of things for a lot of people, and that made it very complicated and ultimately actually very dangerous. I think LA would agree with that. There was no crew escape system on the space shuttle. The fragile return vehicle was downstream of debris, which came off that fuel tank, and that gave us Columbia.
Right.
This vehicle is very specific. It's very simple. It will have crew escape eventually. And the vehicle is on top of the stack. So ultimately, it's just a matter of having a more finely tuned mission.
And MO, you're calling Michael LA. Is that what Miles O'Brien calls you, Michael?
Yes, that's right. A lot of people have a tough time with Lopez Alegria.
All right. Well, it's not a problem for us, but I'm sure it's not a problem for Miles either. You guys are all in a fraternity up there. Let's talk a little bit about what the aspirations are for the private sector space business. Is this a delivery business, a satellite delivery business? Is it a tourism business? What exactly do you aspire to, Michael?
Well, it's a little bit of all of the above in a certain order. So for now, as we witnessed with yesterday's launch, we're talking about taking cargo to the International Space Station. There are two companies involved with that. SpaceX is one of them. The other is Orbital Sciences. And we're hoping to see a launch from them later this year. The next step is to try to extend that to the commercial crew world. So we'll be taking astronauts, NASA and our other partner astronauts, to the ISS, a service that right now is being provided by the Russians. We would like to bring that service sort of back to the U.S., launching folks on U.S. hardware from U.S. soil on hardware built by, American labor.
Okay. Miles O'Brien, give us a sense of the global picture here. Are there private sector astronaut training programs, private sector launch vehicle design programs, private sector even space station design programs right now?
Yeah, all of the above. There's a guy by the name of Bigelow out in Las Vegas who actually has who made his fortune, incidentally, in the motel business, who actually has vehicles orbiting the Earth right now, inflatable vehicles, which he would one day like to turn into hotels. And so these are destinations, private destinations for the ultimate tourist. And that's one of the businesses that we talk about. But, you know, back in the 1920s when airlines were babies and the U.S. was trying to nurse that industry along by putting airmail on board those airplanes, no one could have predicted really a 747 or a 787 going across the ocean. So I don't think we know where this leads necessarily.
Although, Miles, would you say that the punishment to the body associated with air travel at that time is comparable to the punishment to the body of space travel that's going to have to be ameliorated in some sense for this to be a mass operation going into space?
Well, at least it's air conditioned. We can say that. You know, in the old days, flying a Ford tri-motor across the country, you had to have some intestinal fortitude, to be sure. Yes, obviously going to space involves a whole other host of risks. But, you know, it's about managing the risks. And certainly people are going into it with their eyes open, we hope.
Well, yes, we would absolutely hope that, although there are all kinds of avionics that can help you if you keep your eyes closed there in space. Michael Lopez Alegría, let's talk a little bit about the mission of NASA. Is NASA basically in a support role for all these private sector operations, and do they constitute a subsidy that eventually is going to be a little politically sensitive?
Well, they are the anchor tenant in the mall, so to speak, both from the transportation side and the utilization side. So for the time being, the cargo, the crew destinations are both the International Space Station. They are very involved in the program from a procurement standpoint, but they're less so in the development. So the difference between having SpaceX or Orbital design these cargo vehicles and what you might think of when you think of the space shuttle or even the space station is that the government wasn't very involved in the details of the development. So they did provide some seed money, but they stayed out of the decision-making process about whether they should use this material or that
right.
material, and it's kind of focused on the overall specifications.
So the private sector goes into orbit. We're talking with Miles O'Brien, science correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, and Michael Lopez Alegría, president of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation, who is a NASA astronaut himself. In the last couple of minutes here to both of you, let's contrast the Neil Armstrongs of the world, the John Glenns of the world, the Gus Grissoms of the world and the characters associated with NASA, with the Robert Bigelows, the Jeff Bezoses, who's involved in private sector spaceflight, the Richard Bransons, these expansive entrepreneurial characters versus the tight-lipped NASA characters. Michael, what do you make of this new breed?
Well, it's clearly a different character, as you point out. I think the former, you know, steely-eyed test pilots with a certain skill that had to do with flying vehicles a little bit close to the edge of their envelope. And the other guys are close to the edge of the envelope in a different way. I mean, they've made a lot of money being entrepreneurs, usually in sectors that have nothing to do with aerospace. And on the other hand, they have a passion for spaceflight, and they've decided to turn those fortunes toward that industry and see what they can do.
Miles, does someone like Richard Branson, when he thinks about his business model, does he run down a checklist like a pilot or a test pilot would?
Yeah, well, you know, he certainly has to think about safety. I mean, the consequences of a smoldering hole in the ground in this business are very significant and can be, you know, a game changer. I think when you talk about the personalities, you know, think of the people who designed and created what was then called ARPANET versus right. the entrepreneurs of today, Facebook and others, that give you the internet. It's a good analogy. The government engineers, the kind of gray government engineers versus the entrepreneurs who are exploiting what the government has laid the groundwork for. We're in the transition. It's taken a long time. It's about 50 years. But we're in the transition from ARPANET to the internet in space right now. So I think having the private enterprise component injected into space will lead us places we cannot predict.
Well, it's a great analogy. And then in the final minute before we go, does the government assist with that maturation process? Do they assist the entrepreneurs or do they get out of the way, which is sort of what they've done in the ARPANET internet world?
Well, right now we're in the transition period, as you know, as LA put it. Right now, NASA is the anchor tenant. This is the airmail phase for the airlines, if you will. This is the point at which the internet was opened up to the public, and this is where the government starts to step back. I mean, there's always going to be a role for government in space, and particularly when you think about NASA, we hope that NASA will push the envelope and start heading toward Mars, which is appropriately what the government should be doing, because you can't make a business case for that, but you can make a business case for low Earth orbit, and the government just needs to, you know, thread this needle right now and provide just enough assistance to seed it.
And that's Miles O'Brien, science correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. The mission, get to Mars before it becomes a Bigelow theme park. Michael Lopez Alegria, what do you think?
That's a little bit of a stretch. I think Miles hit it exactly right. You know, there is not much of a business case to get to Mars, at least right now, just because the cost to get there is so high. But we're getting to the point where low Earth orbit is a place where hopefully as the flight rate goes up, the prices go down, the demand goes back up, which drives the flight rate up, which drives the prices down. That virtuous cycle is what we're after.
All right, get on board. Michael Lopez Alegria, president of the Commercial Space Flight Federation, a commercial space advocacy group. He is a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander. We're talking about the SpaceX launch, the International Space Station. Michael and Miles, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
You're welcome.